School. If you've never been to one of our programs before, and we do this daily at Bible School, we have a talking piano. And so when that piano does this, you stand up. Okay? And when the piano does this, you sit down. And we're going to do that for the next hour. We begin each day at Bible School by saying some pledges and singing a salute song. Stand and do the silk piano. Let's first of all pledge allegiance to the American flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Remain standing as we sing our salute song. Father, we're grateful that we can gather together and celebrate this week of Bible School and share with those who come about the Lord Jesus Christ and other things they were privileged to learn this week at Bible School. We're so thankful for the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you that on the cross of Calvary he took upon himself the full full brunt of the wrath of God so we could be forgiven freely for all our sins through simple faith in him. Thank you for that message. Thank you for the children this week and all that they learned. We ask that you undertake for them now as they would, he would show us what they learned this week and they could do a good job. It's on to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
One of the, I guess, more fun things of Bible school is singing. We like to sing, don't we, kids?
Yeah.
Yes. You want to come up and help me with this one? This is enthusiasm. This is a Bible school favorite. It's called Salvation. Feel free to sing along as we sing Salvation. Usually surrounded by our Savior. Every child has their name put in what we call a name bag, and then after the Charlie story every day, we drew a name out of the bag, and if their name was picked and they could say the thought for the day, they got to pick a prize out of the prize box. So we're going to do that now. Say it together, kids. Sing this theme song, and I'm going to ask, who did I ask earlier from my class to come up and hold this? Yes, you girls, come on up. And this one has some motions, some body motions we do with this, and is our audience participation number. So feel free to do the motions and enjoy the song.
So when we say sing, we go like this with our arms and shout. Sin has separated us from God. And so this even illustration reminds us that we were slaves to sin and we had no peace within. And so God provided a Savior. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And a Savior, by definition, saves. And He is the only Savior. And He's the one who saves us. And so this one says, He came to wash my sins away so He could set my spirit free. And how did He do that? He did it through the blood of Calvary. The cool thing about the cross of Christ is many people, especially here in America, understand that Christ died on a cross, but what I was blind to for many years and what I didn't understand was the significance of that death. I knew He died on a cross. I even knew He died for sins, but I had no idea what that meant. And what I came to understand is that my sins, which were in the innumerable category, were placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What's unique about Him is He was God and became a man, and He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. And He came to be a Savior. In fact, the Bible says He came to seek and to save those who are lost. In fact, one of the memory verses in my class was that He came to not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many, a ransom payment. And the reason Christ had to make a payment is because God is a perfect judge. And as a perfect judge, He has to judge sin. We live in a society that if you break a law, there's a penalty associated with that breaking of the law, and that the expectation is that penalty would be paid. Well, we've all broken God's laws. So thou shalt not lie. What do you know? We lie. And the wages of sin is death. And so if we were to pay off our own penalty, we'd have to be separated from God forever. And that's not what God wanted. And so God in love sent His Son to take the penalty for us. And when He was on that cross, He was dying in your place and mine, paying a penalty we can never pay. Because all the good works in the world can't change the fact that you're a sinner. And God does not accept good works as a payment for sin. The only acceptable payment is death. And that's why the shedding of blood was necessary. And so Christ in love went to the cross of Calvary. And there He took upon Himself my sin and your sin. And in doing so, He won the victory overall. He says, we're going to shout for joy and praise because you can actually know without a shadow of a doubt that your sins are forgiven. And as the Bible says, you're saved from the penalty of your sin, and you know you're on the way to heaven. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And so the second one, it says, the chorus says, Jesus paid the greatest price. Yes, he made the sacrifice. When John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And those in Israel who were paying attention would recognize the pictures of all the lambs that were sacrificed daily for sins that could never take away sins. So Jesus came as the Lamb of God, the once and for all final sacrifice for sins. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Christ died in your place and mine because that was the only way our sins could be truly paid for. And so he left his home above, and he came to earth to die on Calvary. And when the sacrifice was made, Jesus Christ cried out on the cross, it is finished. And that means paid in full, which means there's no work left to be done. He died once and for all our sins. And because God's justice was once and for all satisfied, salvation is freely offered to any and all if they would simply take it by faith and place their trust in Christ alone. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, it's open to anybody, because Christ died for all, believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And to prove that God accepted his payment, Christ rose. He lives forevermore, and the very life he possesses, he gives freely to any and all that will simply accept him as their Savior. And so we picked this song because it's fun to sing, and it's loaded with truth about our Savior. And I trust that it's not only a message that we want your children to understand, it's something we want you to understand as well, because Christ died for all. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And so that is why we have this song, and I'm grateful for that. At this point, the youngest class is going to come up and share what they learned this week in Bible
Hi there. I'm Angie Gustafson, and Jolene Miller and I had the privilege of teaching 19 kids this week in the youngest class, and we had help from Emily Curtis and Katie Rupert and Angela Adams and Jill Rogers and Tammy Adams, so that was really great to have all that help. This year we learned about God, and we learned about how he made the earth and everything in it, including us. So our first thing we're going to do tonight is sing a song about God's creation. When God created everything, he made everything perfect because he is perfect. We learned about how the phrase glory of God means God's perfection. Next, we learned about God's first created people, Adam and Eve, and how they broke God's rule and sinned. They felt short of God's perfection when they did that. So listen as the children sing our first memory verse that talks about these things.
All have sinned and fall short.
We learned also about how the punishment for Adam and Eve's sin was death, and how death is always the punishment for all sin, even today. We also learned how God promised Adam and Eve to someday send someone to pay the punishment for their sin and ours. We learned how God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth and live a perfect life so that he could pay the sin penalty. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for sin, which was death. And he finished paying for sin, or after he finished paying for sin, he was buried, and then he rose again 3 days later. He made another promise to all who believe. And finally, we learned about heaven. We learned that heaven is a wonderful, happy, beautiful place in which the streets are paved with gold and the walls are made of precious stones. And we learned that there's no sin, death, sickness, or sadness in heaven. And that it's never dark because God is there and he always will be there along with all who believe in what Jesus did for them. The children will sing one more song, which tells us about heaven.
Here's another song that we like to sing at Bible school. It's one of my favorites. I'm in love with Jesus, and he's in love with me. It says, sometimes I disobey him, he still loves me. Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's sing it.
Hi, my name is Jill Lachlan, and we had the privilege of teaching the story of Gideon. And the people that helped me was Julie Pelkey, and also Mrs. Watney, Mrs. Schutte, Mrs. Marsha Miller, and also our class disciplinarian, Mr. Johnson, kept everyone in line. So we were very grateful to have 22 students, and it was a very energetic and fun class to work with. So thank you for sending your kids. Gideon was a valiant soldier and a judge in Israel during a time when the nation was sinning against God by worshiping idols. But God punished Israel for their disobedience and allowed the evil Midianites to overtake them. They came and plundered all their food, stole their cattle, their sheep. And so they were desolate. Not the bucket. So this caused the Israelites to cry out to God so that they would see their need of the Lord again. And then the Lord would raise up a judge, and this cycle went over and over again. So God called Gideon, a most unlikely man, to lead a spiritual revival that began with the destruction of these idols. This week we learned we must approach God and worship him his way. We also saw God's omnipotence in the miraculous deliverance by God for General Gideon, which brought all glory to God. Gideon was humble, obedient, and by much patience on God's part, as we will see, he finally learned to trust God. We also notice how God's omnipotence in the Word of God is sufficient to deliver us. Also being omniscient, God was able to comfort us, Gideon, the same way as he's able to comfort us and wants us to trust him for the difficult things in our lives. We also realize God specializes in overcoming seemingly insurmountable odds. Just as the Israelites were helpless to rescue themselves from their enemies like the Midianites, so we are helpless to conquer sin and death. We need Christ to rescue us. In his death for our sins, burial, and resurrection, Jesus Christ conquered the greatest enemy of all, death. Furthermore, we learn salvation is entirely not of ourselves, but solely by grace alone and the work of Christ, not the work of man. John 3:36 says, we will now share with you 10 confirmations that God gave to Gideon to bolster his faith and give him courage to defeat the Midianites. First, the angel of the Lord said to him, I will make you a mighty man.
Why is all this happening?
Secondly, the Lord turned to him and said,
have not I sent you? But I'm the weakest and the youngest.
And then the Lord said to him,
surely I will be with you.
Gideon then presented to the Lord an offering of goat meat and unleavened bread. That was number three. And then number four, angel came out and fire rose from the rock and consumed the meat and the bread. This gave Gideon courage to tear down the altar to Baal, but the men of the city were not happy. They said to Gideon's father,
get your son and we will kill him.
As a fifth sign, one more. God protected Gideon from the men of the city. Sixthly, the sixth sign was the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. As it did so, he blew his trumpet. Just Gideon. Many of the people gathered behind him. Still needing further confirmation as a seventh sign, Gideon said to God, If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I will lay a sheepskin down, and when I wake in the morning, and if the dew has covered the sheepskin only and the ground is dry, I will know you are going to help me. When Gideon awoke, he could hardly believe his eyes. There before him was the sheepskin, sopping wet, and he wrung out a whole bowlful of water, while all around the ground was as dry as could be. It was a miracle. And yet there was a little nagging question in his mind. Gideon wanted to be very, very sure God was on his side, for he knew without God's help the plan would fail. So with fear and trembling, he once again talked to the Lord. Please don't be angry with me, Lord, Gideon prayed, but I want to be absolutely sure this is your will. So tonight, will you let the fleece be dry and just the ground be wet with dew? And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but the ground only was covered with dew. The Lord again spoke to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest they claim glory for themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. So God said, whoever is fearful and afraid, go home. Now 10,000 remain because 22,000 went home. As a final reduction in his army, as an eighth confirmation, God gave, this was a water test. All those who drank with their hands would remain in Gideon's army. But the ones that lapped like a dog, they had to go home. The ninth confirmation was a strange dream. So it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. There was a huge barley cake these men dreamed about that came and smashed their tents. There we go. And so now Gideon knew the Midianite camp was filled with fear, while the Israelites were filled with courage, knowing God would deliver the enemy's camp into their hand. 1 Samuel 14:6b says, so creeping down to the edge of the Midianite camp with his three companies of 100 soldiers, Gideon fought with curious weapons. Giving his signal, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. As a last and final confirmation, when the 300 men blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companions throughout the whole Midianite camp. And the foolish Midianites, in their confusion, killed each other. The end.
Sing a song that coincides with the story of Gideon, and it's got a couple of motions with it, so let's enjoy it.
My name is Nick Rupert, and I had the privilege, again, of teaching the oldest middle class. And we spent our time this week in Bible school looking at the story of Joshua. And we only got a few chapters into the book, but what is very much evident, in those first chapters anyways, is the importance of having a single mind when it comes to the will of God, being single-minded in that regard, and that the only way to truly be strong in the Lord and to be courageous in doing the will of God is to be a person of faith. To trust the Lord moment by moment, each step of the way, even when the details aren't clear and you're not sure how God's will is going to unfold. But we saw that time and time again, the Lord proved himself to be faithful, to provide exactly what was needed, when it was needed, and even to deliver by some truly unique means, and even just honor those that the world may despise or think poorly of, yet God honored them because they had faith in him. So the children are going to share some of those stories that we went through this week with you right now. Wow, guys. Jenna.
First, we learned that after Moses' death, God chose Joshua to lead the nation of Israelites into the promised land. This was a huge task, leading that maybe being up to 2 million people. With all their possessions, livestock, into a new land, where they would have to fight many battles against strong and enemies and fortified cities.
But God had taught and prepared Joshua for this task. He had learned the importance of fully trusting the Lord and his word, and had seen God deliver the nation out of Egypt and through 40 years of wandering in the desert wilderness.
And with his new role as a leader of the nation of Israel, God encouraged Joshua to be strong and very courageous, and that God would be with him as he had been with Moses. Our theme verse for this week has been Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
We learned of God's faithfulness in protecting the two Israelite spies sent into Jericho from capture. God used an unlikely person of Rahab, and though she lived an immoral life, God honored Rahab's faith. She trusted in the God of Israel, knowing he was the one true living God. She knew that God was giving the land to them. God honored her faith and for keeping the Israelite spies safe. She was promised that if she would mark her home with a red cord hanging from the window, she and her family would be protected during the Israelites' attack on the city.
Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We saw that God is able to provide exactly what is needed, exactly when it is needed. He provided exactly what Joshua needed to lead the nation into the promised land. When he miraculously stopped the waters of the flooded Jordan River to provide safe crossing for the whole nation of Israel as they walked across on dry land, as they had when God divided the Red Sea for the previous generation of the Israelites, when God delivered them out of Egypt. Waiting on God for his perfect will and his perfect time is worth it.
Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
We learn that God alone is able to fight our battles when we trust him and are willing to do his will, his way. His plan for defeating the city of Jericho may have seemed like foolishness. The Israelites silently march around the city once a day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day, and then to blow some horns and shout. But God provided the victory for Joshua and the nation of Israel. On the seventh day, at the sound of the trumpets and shout of the people, the walls tumbled down, and they easily conquered the city. God kept Rahab and her family safe. The Israelites kept their promise to Rahab, providing her and her family deliverance from the destruction.
First Thessalonians 5:24. He who called you is faithful, who also will do it.
Thank you for sending your children to Bible school this year. It was, again, a privilege to have them in class. So, that was a real privilege.
Jesus is my answer.
I can see that. Now the young people are going to come up. I taught the young people this week at Bible school, and I taught them lessons from the life of King Saul and how not to do it. And so they're going to demonstrate what they learned by contemporary examples of foolishness that correspond with Saul's poor decisions as king.
This week, our class was taught about the rebellion of Israel and King Saul in 1 Samuel. We were taught that we can be like Israel when we do not listen to warnings. God warned the nation empathetically that the king would make their lives miserable if they wanted a king outside of his will. They did not listen. We're not sure that this would ever happen to teenagers. Notice this example. This, of course, is silly, but when we do not heed the warnings and disobey biblical principles, we are like Saul and Israel. We should expect to reap negative consequences.
Galatians 6:7-8. Saved, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to his spirit will of the spirit reap everlasting life.
We can be like foolish King Saul and become impatient and compromise biblical principles to get what we want.
Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death.
We can be like foolish King Saul when we are dishonest with ourselves and others, making excuses to justify our poor decisions. Obviously, their excuses don't hold water, and they were slapped with a ticket.
Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy."
We learn that it is better to admit when we have been wrong so God can lead us to victory over sin and failure.
I was wrong.
I was
finally, we learn that by God's grace, we can instead be young men and women after God's own heart. One of our memory verses, 1 Samuel 12:24, commands, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you."
Was it your favorite? It's my favorite. Well, we want to thank you for coming tonight. I know it's a little toasty in here. That's okay. If you can, we've got plenty of refreshments in our fellowship hall, and we invite you to stick around and enjoy some of those and visit with each other and pick up your kids and such. So I want to thank you for coming. And Owen's been begging me all night to help me with a song, so I think I'm going to do that. We're going to end our program tonight by standing and singing "Happiness is the Lord." So let's stand and sing this one together. Come on, Owen.